CliffCentral.com.
Oh yeah, good morning everybody. Here we are, we are live. It is Wednesday morning. It's chilly, it's cold as all hell. So, we've got Simpiwe sitting in the studio in Joburg. And we've got an amazing guest this morning. We've got Lebo Lion, who is with us this morning. She is a voice of marketing in South Africa, the voice of marketing, if you ask me. She's an author. She is one of the 40 under 40 business icons for 2020, and a podcaster. She's also a speaker. She has been a Prism Awards judge, and it's a great pleasure to have you with us this morning, Lebo. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. We're very good. And apart from being a little bit cold and a little bit early, which we are used to, we don't love it, but we're used to it. Otherwise, everything's good. What's news with you? Did I get the intro right there? Are you happy with that intro?
Because
you know
you did. So many people mess it up, especially in the marketing industry, because their voices tremble a little bit when they say she's the voice of marketing.
Yeah, well, I mean, so give everybody just a little bit of background there, because I mean, you know, great claims require great evidence, they always say, but yeah, people need to know this stuff. I mean, it's you've got an impressive list of accomplishments, but explain how you got into marketing and what you've been doing over the years.
You know what, actually, the Lebo Lion brand is a social experiment. When I was 26, I found myself with a little bit of money in my bank account, and I was trying to find, it's not weird. So I used to have a tech company, right? We found ourselves in rooms where we got various opportunities. Mm-hmm. The company didn't work out, but we did leave with a little bit of money because we sold the company to people.
Okay.
So I found myself with quite a bit of money, and I didn't know what to do with my time. So I thought to myself, what can I do that would interest me, that is, I think, forward-leaning in terms of the trends that are happening in the marketing industry?
Right.
And one of the things I thought about was building a personal brand.
Cool.
And I thought to myself, whose personal brand do I build? Why should I build it? Let me start with my own.
Beautiful.
Like, let me see if I really know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lebo Lion brand was born, and I wanted to see how far I could take it, if I could really do it, or if I really wasn't that kind of person. And it turns out that I am. And I think that's why so many people are upset about me calling myself the voice of marketing, because I don't come from industry. I've never worked in the marketing industry formally in South Africa. So I'm just this newbie disrupting things.
You know what?
And nobody can trace
it. Love it.
Yeah, you know why I love that is because there isn't really like a marketing how-to guide. And people who claim they're in marketing are sometimes some of the worst performing people in the boardroom. You know, the marketing people are always like your lowest hanging fruit. They always put people in there who they think, I'm talking about this because media goes hand in hand with marketing. So I'm not saying that I'm any better. I'm you know, marketing, it's a tough thing because sometimes you just strike it lucky and you come up with a really great idea or a concept or a brand or a campaign even. And sometimes you're just kind of paddling along. And I've seen so many people in marketing who get away with just paddling along.
I agree with you. I mean, on my podcast, I always talk about, and this is a very controversial statement, I guess, but I feel that a lot of marketers in South Africa are glorified events planners.
Yeah.
Right. So when you think about a marketing company or agency and you look at their work, all they've done is just plan events.
Yep.
And when you look at global, the global marketing industry, in the States and in the UK, people are growth hacking. People are integrating tech into their strategies. They're not out there planning parties all day and calling themselves marketers.
Right.
So
yeah, that's
it's
right.
Frustrating for me.
No, look,
I see why people don't like you. You be telling the truth. See now, girl.
I would always rather talk to someone who people don't like and find out why than talk to someone who everybody says nice things about, and you find out that they only say nice things about them because they've got personality about as deep as that, you know.
It's easy to like someone who doesn't challenge you, right?
Yeah, correct.
Who doesn't
correct.
encourage you to be better or to do different.
I like this. Sanele says, you did well to choose the voice of marketing. Lucky you're not the voice of telemarketing, because that... All right. I brought this up the other day, and I'm going to now ask everybody for some assistance here. So I mentioned that Telkom have been calling me every day to try and upgrade me, change my package. You remember this, Simpy? We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. And I'm now
still
losing.
Going through that. Still
now they're calling twice a day. And yesterday afternoon, they called me while I was really busy with, I was in a meeting, and these bastards called me again. And now I think I need to punish them somehow. So I'm willing to take any and all suggestions. I'm definitely going to change my contract now because this is enough. I want to find out, though, what should I do? Who should I talk to? Because I want them to know that it's not just me. There are probably hundreds of other customers now who, and I get it that these people are just trying to do their job. But if you call people unsolicited twice a day now, because it used to be once a day, now it's twice a day, what are those people going to do to get you to stop? There's this act, this poppy act, right? This poppy that we all signed up for, that the government has said it's going to protect our personal information. Clearly, I cannot get anybody who calls me to get my name off that list. And they're not listening to me. I've explained it nicely. Eventually, I've explained it in a much less nice way. Nobody's getting the message. What do I do?
Gareth, the first mistake you made was getting a Telkom account.
Yeah, probably.
So let's start there.
See?
You were setting yourself up for disaster by getting a Telkom account. That's the first thing.
I know.
And I think the second thing, and especially in South Africa, I mean, I don't even count the Poppy Act because I feel like a lot of the laws that we create in this country, especially regarding tech and consumer rights, are never really enforced in a meaningful way, right? So they have it just to say, if you are in trouble or if you, you know, don't like something or you need our help, this is the act we have, this is what you can do, but they never really enforce it. So the best thing you can do as a consumer who doesn't want to be ignored is just ignore them.
Really?
Literally.
That's it. Huh?
There's literally nothing else you can really do.
I was going to say tweet about it, Gareth.
Tweet about it. And he's going to give them relevance. He's going to make Telkom even more relevant if he's going to tweet about it.
What's
people are going to be mad.
Brands are scared.
That's when a mob starts.
I'm not looking
to. Start trending for the wrong reasons.
I'm not going to whip up a mob. That's not anything I've done before.
And no, Twitter mob. It doesn't happen online, you know. I mean, in real life. But online, everyone's mad. Everyone's like, oh my gosh. And they share their experience as well. And they're like, me too. I can't believe Gareth Cliff is going through this. Let me tell you what I went through. And then, like, before you know it, 50,000 people are just like, yeah, Telkom is a scam. And they're like, okay, sorry, guys. We will change our ways. We won't call anymore.
No.
And then... So I was hopefully they change.
I was thinking, you know, because it'll be easier for me to get hold of the CEO than anyone else will. Because I could probably get hold of him and say to him, listen, do you know what your people are doing? Because I really do think that they are one of the, and you can't really call Telkom a parastatal because they also have private ownership and all the rest. But I do believe it's one of those places where the private sector and government have done a good job of, you know, they've put in very good fiber across the country. They have these cell packages, which I know you're right. You know, Lebo, I'm not going to argue with you about Telkom's reputation, but they do deliver a mostly good service. And I don't believe that we should just throw the baby out of the bathwater here. I want to say to them, whether it's the CEO, the chief marketing officer, whoever, I'm like, guys, get your call center to stop doing this because they're going to turn customers who don't hate you into customers who hate you, or even worse, non-customers who hate you. You don't think it's worth trying that? It's worth it. Like, I'm going to pick up the phone today and I'm going to phone whoever I can there and try to get someone to listen. I just think that they are messing up on an obvious winner for themselves here by just staying away from people, not calling them twice a day.
You know, Gareth, you're the first person I've met who says Telkom has good customer service. My experience of Telkom seriously is walking into the store, and this has happened 5 times, I kid you not.
Okay.
I've walked into a Telkom store and I've seen somebody screaming, shouting, throwing things around, asking for help for something that they haven't been assisted with for months. That's literally my experience of Telkom. I used to be a Telkom customer and I literally would find myself calling them at least 3 to 4 times a week because whatever they were giving me wasn't really working the way it's supposed to. Or like you find that the data finishes faster than it's supposed to, whatever the case may be. And I think when I left Telkom, I lost 5 kilograms because I wasn't as stressed as I used to be.
Okay,
It was not it.
You sold me, and I'm not going to go on making my problem everyone else's, but I will make a decision today about my course of action. Thank you for your input. Simpiwe, what do you think before we close this off? And then we're gonna move on.
I agree, because clearly this is something that they do. You know, yeah. I'm glad that I'm not a Telkom client or customer. So, listening to you guys, even in the future, I don't think I'll ever be one, because now, you know, we need to, now that we know better, we need to do better. So Gareth, do the things to be done and leave them alone. Leave this abusive relationship. It's not working out. Mm-hmm. So it's time to go.
All right. I've got to refer to something that Lebo threw into the notes for this morning, which I'm really interested in talking about. And I think everybody's going to like this too. So they have just come out with some stats around lying, which I think is fascinating. So according to a survey that's just been conducted, women lie around 11 times a day. Men lie about 58 times a day. Now, I first of all, I question the study because I've met women and I actually know some women, and I don't know that is true. So I'm going to say right up front, this is one study which says that women lie 11 times a day and men 58 times a day. I've seen studies that numbers are inverted. Either way, and we're not going to get into this yet. We can talk about that in a second. But you've got a few questions here, Lebo, right?
Yeah. My first one is, why lie? You know, you could just keep quiet, but why do men choose to lie? It doesn't make sense to me.
So keeping quiet is not something that women are good at? Have you ever argued with one? Again, I'm going to say, all right. I understand. Look, when it comes to relationships, I'm pretty sure that men lie more than women.
Yeah.
I think that's probably fair cop. So, okay, I'm wondering what kind of lies, though, because you know that they've done all kinds of evolutionary biology and social anthropology around this. They've discovered that humans who do not lie at all, there are a few of these people, I don't know where, I don't know how they've survived, I don't know how they've made it, but humans who don't lie at all or who lie very little, very seldom make it in the world. Like, they're very seldom hugely successful, because it requires you, as a part of being alive and being around people, sometimes you're required to tell lies. Now, I think there is a huge difference between a lie that does no damage and doesn't hurt someone. Like, for example, your girlfriend says to you, "Does my bum look big in this?" Or, "What do you think of my new hairstyle?" You say, "Oh, I love your new hairstyle. And of course your bum doesn't look big in that." Now, it may. And it may occur to you that it is the truth to say, maybe it's the jeans. The moment you even think about that, you're up shit creek. You haven't got a paddle. It's worth your while. It's worth your while to lie about those things, because first of all, there is no victim of the lie, right? No one is going to get hurt. Of course, you know, purists will say, "Oh no, but you need to give honest feedback." But honestly, really, do you seriously need to tell someone the answer to that question? All it's going to lead to is pain. And then you get dangerous lies. You get lies like, "Have you been cheating on me? Where is the money in this account? Why is the car not in the garage anymore?" Those kinds of questions deserve honest answers, because obviously there's a spiral of stuff that's going to come out of each of those if you lie that is going to be very, very hard to figure out and to put together again after you've broken it. So don't you think, Lebo, that there is a time where people have to lie? And they do say in these surveys, and in a lot of the scientific literature, that the human beings who've lied to get out of a situation rather than have gone straight to conflict have sometimes saved themselves and perhaps their whole tribe and perhaps their whole civilization. You know, if we think about the Cold War and and how maybe if Kennedy and Khrushchev had been like a little bit more honest with each other, we may have ended up in a nuclear war. Maybe if they'd been more dishonest with each other, you could argue that we would have ended up in a nuclear war. I don't know, but sometimes a lie can go a long way to saving lives and to hurting less people.
I mean, you've taken it to a deep place, Gareth.
and sorry.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. As a marketer, I think part of our job is knowing when to omit some evidence,
mm-hmm.
And how much evidence to share, you know,
cool.
Because you can't just propose something to a potential customer and tell them everything, you know. You can't say, yes, our product works, but it has these kinds of malfunctions. We will only show you the good parts and maybe a few of the technical issues we have that you might be okay living with.
Sure.
So I think that the world does operate in a system where you do omit certain things if you want people to buy into what you have to sell them, or if you want to even form relationships. If you're just going to be blatantly honest every single time,
yeah.
You'll just be hated by everyone. Nothing's going to work or move forward. So I think part of buy-in, doesn't matter where you are in politics, in law, in marketing, whatever, is in knowing what parts of the truth to tell. Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right when it comes to marketing. When it comes to telling a lie to millions and millions of potential customers, then you are asking for trouble if you lie. Because you're going to be found out, and it's going to affect the credibility and the authenticity of your brand in ways that you probably can never fix. Right?
Yeah.
So if you claim this pill will cure any headache, you know, I mean, that's marketing spiel. Nobody really believes that. But if you say...
believe it. I think some people actually believe it.
Well,
and then they're mad.
No, but they don't get mad at the product because there's too much evidence backing that the product works. So they get mad at themselves. And that's why products like Herbal Life or brands like Herbal Life are so successful, right? Because they work on the customer psyche. So when you fail, you feel like, but a million other people succeeded. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
You don't say Herbal Life doesn't work. You say, I don't work. I'm not good enough. And that's what marketers do. We play into the psychology of people so that at the end of the day, they don't blame our brands, but they blame themselves for how they participated in the experience.
That's fair. And Dogozo says, you have to lie in a relationship. this is his line. I'm not going to put words in his mouth. He says, men have to lie in relationships. It's important for the relationship, which kind of goes...
Have a balance.
Well, okay. So what's the balance, Simpiwe?
What if we're going with the, I ask you, do I look fat in these jeans? You know, the balance would it not be, well, I don't think these jeans are particularly the most flattering.
Ooh.
Like, is that not the balance? Or are we still treading on?
Are you insane? Are you insane? Do you want nuclear war?
Okay, so clearly there's no balance. There's no way of, you know, speaking the truth, but just, you know, not being as brutal and as harsh.
You could be as brutal as DK, who says, a friend's wife asked if her new jeans made her bum big. No, it's all the chocolates that you eat, he replied. He was in the dog box. He was in the dog box for a week.
Because are we saying that we want to be lied to as people? Is this what we're saying?
I don't know. But because isn't it different if I ask you? So if I ask you, do I look fat in these jeans? And you're honest with me, then I can't really be mad at that. Opposed to Gareth just saying, yes, and Pierre, today you look fat. And I'm like, excuse me? Like,
no,
say that again.
But
you know, is that this, not a lie?
This is again where women and men differ. And I can't believe you're the woman asking that question. And I'm trying to like read into the ether because in truth, men, we don't always understand what we're meant to do in those situations. But, you know, if for example, you've had a haircut, right? You got new nail polish or something, and I don't notice it. I don't even notice it. I get chat on sometimes. I'm like, how am I meant to remember that you had, you know, clear nail varnish yesterday, and today you've got like bright red? How am I meant to remember that?
It's so obvious, girl.
It's
so obvious in your face.
So obvious,
right?
But really, women notice that on women. Most men don't. And even if you, unless you do something very dramatic with your hair, a lot of the time, guys not going to notice it. Like if you suddenly change your hair, And you've got like a, let's say you go from Afro to like Cheese Corp, you know, everybody's going to be like, gee, okay, well, that's a change. And it's, if it looks great, they'll say, oh my God, that looks great. No one's going to go, oh, that looks horrible. Because they think you've done it and you wanted to do it. So you must like it. So therefore, people are, it's more important for most people to be liked than to be honest. Don't you think that's true, Lebo?
I'm not sure, actually. That's an interesting statement, because as I was listening to both you and Simpiwe, I was like, are we saying that people want to be, so they want their biases to be confirmed? They want their perspective to be confirmed, and so they ask people questions they already know the answers to?
Definitely.
And are we saying that women do it more than men, and that's why men have to lie more? Or are we saying that it depends on the situation?
Maybe that's an excuse that men don't deserve to be able to make, because... you know, they might be making those lies. They might be lying in the workplace. They might be lying in, it could be somewhere in politics. It could be other than the relationship.
Professional lies.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, and is a professional lie better or worse than a relationship lie? Because surely if you're going to be honest with anybody, it might as well be the person you're closest to in your life. I don't know the answer, but these things, people have been toying with this and throwing it around and trying to figure it out for thousands of years. And you know, one bad lie can ruin a relationship.
Correct.
But if you're caught.
Yeah, if you're caught, very good point.
But
I'll go back to what,
because that's another dimension,
what I said just now. I do think a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people would rather hear things that they like than the truth. I really think that's absolutely true across the board for men and women. You know, if you say to someone looks like absolute shit because they had a big night last night, and they've got a puzza face and they're hungover and they look terrible, and they are, you know, they're wearing like shitty clothes and they just haven't made any effort and they're a bit of a mess, and they walk into the room and you're like, whew, you get a fright, you know, and they can see, and you're not going to go, oh, you look horrible, unless it's a really good friend of yours and you can laugh at each other and they know it doesn't come from a mean place. Like, you're not trying to bring them down. You're just trying to, like, what the hell did you get up to last night? Find out what they did. Don't know.
Well, guys, maybe it's in how we express the truth, right? Because if I walk into a room and you just say, ugh, I'm going to be upset, because that's an extreme reaction to what I look like, right? But if you say to me, look, today's not your best day, but most of the time you look great.
Let's keep it moving.
I might be able to digest that truth a little bit better, you know.
So are we saying it's not what it's not what said, it's how you say it? Is that what plays a role?
That's
a part
of it.
I'm like, today is not your best day, girl.
Right.
But you know, you look good every other day.
maybe, because also it's about emotional intelligence, right?
Right.
Some people just can't hear the truth. Like, now, it does not work for them.
Is it a lie if you go and like someone's picture, but you don't actually like their picture on Instagram? Is that a lie?
That's a big one. That's a big one. Yes.
Because I sometimes will see someone and I think, ooh, you shouldn't have posted that, but I'll like it anyway, because I have any business upsetting them.
You know what gets me with that, Gareth, is that there'll be a picture posted, especially by like an influencer or celebrity, right? And it's not the most flattering. Mm. And then you read the comments, they're like, yes, girl. Mm. Oh, you look hot. I can't believe you're my friend.
Bullshit.
Woo,
yeah.
Fire emojis. And you look at it and you're like, nah, guys.
No. See, that's dishonest. It's got to be, that's a lie, right?
I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I thought I was the only person who saw this.
No.
Because you go to Instagram and you're like, what are these pictures? Like, what's going on? Mm. But you read the comments, like you said, and people are like, oh my God, you look so beautiful. This is amazing. And I'm like, but where? So I asked one of my friends who's like a very big influencer, and she's like, no, that's how it works. If you want to be in the inner circle of the top tier influencers.
Oh, you have to bullshit.
You need to comment on their, yeah, basically, you have to comment on their posts all the time, and people can see it's all about visibility. So also how the algorithm works is, the more you comment on accounts that have more followers than you and more high value, people who follow that account, mm-hmm. the more exposure you have to those people, the more visible you are to them, and the higher the likelihood that they're going to be familiar with you and follow you. So you're almost trying to hedge your bets so that you get more high value followers on your account, because that allows you to be more visible generally on Instagram and to position your account as a more high value account. So it's better for me if I say Kithi Bumikali and Boiti are following me versus just regular people are following me.
Yeah, which is such nonsense. I don't know that algorithm should be doing that. I think that's bullshit, because in the real world, if someone who you don't know keeps on talking about you, you're going to actually run a mile away from that person. You won't want to be their friend or follow them. You want to get the hell out of there. No.
Absolutely. The dynamics of like creepdom are very different on Instagram
all right,
than
so,
they are in real life.
So here are some comments. So Dude69 says, I lied in previous relationships to keep the peace. Lie, brothers. Women can't handle the truth.
Ooh. Whoa. I have a question, Dude69. Whoa. When you say I lied to keep the peace, how far are you stretching these lies? Because I think I can understand the gene thing, right? I can definitely understand. I don't want to be told that I've gained 5 kilograms in this relationship. I really don't. But how far are you taking it? If I'm asking you, how was your day? Are you lying about what happened in your day? Are you lying about where you at mentally or financially? Like, how far are you taking these lies now? Because I don't think that's healthy.
It isn't. Michael says, at 25, I made a choice to be as honest as possible, to the point where it was, unless it was hurtful, to the point where unless it was hurtful, it would be constructive. The first 2 years, I lost 60% of my friends. That's honest. But life is so much easier. Well, yeah. I mean, if you can do it, obviously the point is, you want to be as honest as possible, right? But there are some areas in the world where it just makes it easier if you don't tell the truth. And that sounds so counterintuitive. But I think people, there are places where you don't have to be, you know, like the dog ate my homework. Is it worth telling? You're not going to say to the teacher, no, I got home. I played soccer in the garden for a little bit. I watched soap operas all afternoon and I fell asleep. You know, are you really going to say that? Because you're going to get into so much more trouble than if you just go, my mom just lost her job and my gran is staying with us and there was a fire in the kitchen. And, you know, some of those stories, even though they're made up, might just save you a whole lot of pain and anguish.
Absolutely. I think you can also use the truth, though, as a power tool. So what I mean by that is, a lot of us are already expecting people to lie to us. And I think that when somebody actually just answers truthfully, you almost gain a lot more respect for them and you don't know what to say. You're just like, okay, so you did go to soccer and you fell asleep. There's nothing I can do to you. Move along, fix it next time. I've found that sometimes just telling the truth has actually helped me have better relationships with people and get more out of life. Whether it's professionally or in personal spaces, it's worked for me. You know, when someone says, do you like this? And I say, no, I don't.
Right.
You know, and they're like, okay, wow, but tell us why. And then I find myself getting into bigger rooms because I was the only one who wasn't afraid to say, actually, this is no. It's a no.
I'm with you.
So
Sanele wants to bring this to an end. Okay, enough. Let's settle this once and for all. A vote. Simpiwe, do you want us to tell you the genes make you look fat or not? Lebo, do you want us to tell you the genes make you look fat or not?
Simpiwe, are you going first?
I'll go first. Do tell me that the genes make me look fat, please. But please be kind about it. I'm one of those people. Don't be like, yeah, you look fucking fat in those jeans, girl. You gotta lose weight. Sure. Don't be that person. You're gonna break my heart. Just be like, yeah, I don't think this is the most flattering look on you right now. Maybe we should buy a different cut size, mm-hmm. you know, there's, I think there's a way to finesse the truth, in my humble opinion. So finesse me, but tell me the truth.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair. All right. What do you say, Lebo?
Please don't finesse me. Tell me the truth exactly how it is. Because if I get 10 kilograms bigger because you kept quiet, we're both going to be in hell until I lose it.
Sure.
So just tell me the truth so I can fix it now when it's still okay. And yeah, I want the truth, the blatant, honest truth.
You can't handle the truth, as they say in the Few Good Men movie. I'm gonna throw this last comment in to wrap it up, because Freedom Fighter says, if you tell the truth, you never have to remember anything. And that's kind of what I go along with. And I'm glad Lebo brought this up. Whether those statistics are right or wrong, we will only know in our own personal lives through experience. There's no way to be sure of this. Maybe you are surrounded by liars and you never actually know what the truth is. But I have no idea. I have no idea whether that's true or not. All right, we've got to look at some headlines this morning, and then we're going to get to Revix in a moment or two. So let's take a look at what's actually happening in the world this morning. There's quite a lot going down. News-wise, if we're looking at some of the big headlines in South Africa today, what do we got? Renowned South African economist Mike Schussler died. We were talking about this just yesterday. You know, every week, Simpiwe and Dari are busy finding people for The Burning Platform, which is where we talk current affairs. And Mike Schussler was actually on with us the middle of last year. So around this time last year. And he was great. He was on the show with Bulelani. And he's just terrific. I'm very sad to hear that he's gone. The CEO of the Road Freight Association, Gavin Kelly, where Schussler worked as an economist, said on Tuesday morning he learned about the death from Schussler's family. Kelly said in a statement that Schussler was battling with his health. He said on March 14th in a tweet on an inflation graph that he was doing this as a service today, as he's still sick but getting back now, trying to beat cancer. And he put up an inflation chart, which was his last tweet. Our sincere condolences to Greta and his family. We will miss you, Mike, said Kelly. A great stalwart of the industry has fallen, and many people sending him tributes, especially people who were in business, people who paid attention to the economy. This guy was a real economist. He understood what made markets go up and down, what people were doing right and wrong in order to make money flow in their direction. And I think that we're going to be a poorer country for not having someone like Mike Schussler to rely on for his wisdom. So there's the first story in the news this morning. The Cannes Film Festival is on. Lebo, do you care about this?
I do. I love Cannes. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And I've been there a couple of times to do some work and some networking. So I love it. I don't necessarily care about all the films that are there, I won't lie. But I do care about the people who go, because you meet a lot of cool tech people. You meet a lot of people in marketing who are just doing big things.
Not to mention the advertising awards, which are obviously a very big deal, right?
Exactly. So you have that as well. The last time I went, I got to meet Scooter Braun. Wow. And he's awesome. So for me, it's I care, and I wish I was there.
Scooter Braun is Scooter Braun's Justin Bieber's manager, among other things, right?
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Yes.
He is.
His story is quite incredible.
It is.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason I bring it up is because the 2022 Cannes Film Festival has all been about protests highlighting sexual and gender-based violence. There was a woman wearing nothing except the Ukraine flag painted onto her breasts, with like hands that looked like blood all over her legs. And, you know, there are people in the background wearing fancy dresses and walking past and just trying to ignore her. And she's screaming at the camera. Someone's running up to try and put a jacket on her. There are people with like smoke bombs. It's just unbelievable how this place has now become one of the focal points for protest, as opposed to, you know, just glamour and glitz and people having a fun time. And there are lots and lots of pictures, you can find them all online, of people who are dressed up and looking fancy. The Daily Maverick covers this quite nicely if you want to go and check what they're saying about it. But there's a huge amount of protest involved here as well. This is probably One of those places that never used to get any protests, right? But now suddenly is getting a lot of them. I suppose people protest everywhere.
Well, I mean, protesters also need eyes, right? And people like to act like they care about what's happening in the world more than they do.
Yeah.
And I think that smart protesters have realized that going into the places where people who are privileged, people who make decisions, where they have fun, where they network, where they do things, when you disrupt their comfort and make them uncomfortable, then something happens and something gets done. And I think that's why we're seeing so much more of that. I did see the video, and I don't know. I don't think it's landing the way that it should, if I'm being quite honest.
Yeah.
Because for me, what validates activism is collective action. So when you're doing it alone, it just kind of seems like you're a crazy person fighting for something that you only believe in and nobody else is vetting or backing or supporting. So I think it could have been done differently.
Right. Mark Ruffalo, who is the Hulk, you know him, he has joined 150 wealthy people who are saying that governments should tax them more. Now, I've never understood this. Like, if you're a wealthy person and you want government to tax you more, just give government more of your money. You don't have to go out there and make everybody else pay. What the hell business do you have getting involved in anyone else's money? Let's say, you know, he and Tom Cruise are both earning hundreds of millions of dollars for movies, and Tom doesn't want to pay the U.S. government more than half of his money, then Mark Ruffalo is well within his rights to go to the IRS, what do they call them? The Independent Revenue Service, right, in America, and say to them, here, have some more of my money. Why do they go and make a public spectacle of themselves and say this in public? It's just attention seeking. I don't believe a word of what he says. He went to the World Economic Forum, and anyone who goes there, I think, is a bad person. Just generally, I want to say that up front. He has said in an open letter called In Tax We Trust that while the world has gone through an immense amount of suffering in the last 2 years, we've actually seen our wealth rise during the pandemic. Yet few, if any of us, can honestly say that we pay our fair share in taxes. Now, this is not true. The rich in America pay way more than their fair share. The rich in America are actually responsible for paying more than 50% of the total tax in America. And by rich, they mean anyone who's earning over $1 or $2 million, I think it is, a year. They're paying the majority of the tax. So they call themselves the Patriotic Millionaires Group, and they've got a whole 150 of them. So, I mean, you know, it's 150 people who are millionaires who want to pay more than what they're paying. I've never met anyone in South Africa who goes, I want to give more of this hard-earned money of mine, whether they're rich or poor. I want to give more of this to the people who are going to absolutely steal it and misappropriate it. So this begs a lot of questions. What do you think of that?
Don't trust. Absolutely do not trust. There's no person in this world, no matter how rich or poor they are, will be like, just take my money. That's, you know, it's not a thing.
Something crooked.
Everyone wants to keep money for themselves and wealth in their family, you know. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we have Swiss accounts, they exist for a reason. It's because no one wants to pay tax. Mm-hmm. No one actually wants to give away their hard-earned money. So I don't know what it is, but I don't trust you. I'm just like, raise eyebrows. Like, this is sus. The definition of sus. And I'm not about it.
What do you say, Lebo?
My first question would be, is the government the best body to handle our money?
Like, no.
Are they really?
The short answer, no.
We shouldn't give it our money to. Right? So that's the first question, firstly. And then the second one is, and it actually made me think of the whole Kylie Jenner saga when she said, or Forbes says she was self-made.
Yes.
And then everyone said, no, she's not self-made. Mm-hmm. So if we put it in relation to taxes, is anyone really ever self-made? Or do we need an extensive like tax structure that has a lot of money being put into it to help more people become self-made? Because the infrastructure that's paid for and maintained by our taxes is actually what allows people to be great and to make money and to thrive. So that's the question. I don't have the answer, but that is my question.
But I'd like to ask something as well with this. When they say they want to tax the wealthy more, Are they also going to tax the big mega churches more, like these pastors that are making millions of money from offerings and you know, like everything else besides being a celebrity? Like, are we holistically looking at like everyone who says that they are millionaires, trillionaires, billionaires? Are we looking at them in whatever industry and whatever they do to say, yeah, you're also going to get taxed as much, in as much as you're a man of God? Because that's also very important. Like, who's getting taxed? Who is actually getting taxed?
And I'm going to go back to my point. If you love paying tax so much, Mark Ruffalo, just give them more money. You can do that right now. You don't need new laws for everybody else. It's amazing to me how everybody seems so obsessed with everybody else's money, but they don't want anyone to touch their own. And here you got Mark Ruffalo saying, take my own. Well, just give it. Nobody's stopping you. Or donate it to a charity. You know, there are plenty of good charities in the world that could do with your help. Just give away all your money, Mark Ruffalo, and start again. Do the next movie that you do with no money in the bank. Then we'll take you seriously.
Lol. I mean, I think with wealthy people as well, it's a sense of we want to maintain the levels, right? Mm-hmm. So I can't be poorer than the person who I know. We must all be on the same level. So if I have to pay a lot of tax, then you should too. So we all stay on that level.
That's a good point.
If one person does it and then another one doesn't and they become wealthier because they're saying, I don't want to pay more tax, then how fair is it? You know, I think that's how some people see it.
So Michael in the comments has said something I think is interesting here. You remember those kids at school who would say, no, teacher, we need more homework. Everybody hated those kids. They exist. There are those kids who are like, we want more homework, because they're trying to get the teacher to love them. They just want someone to say, you're my favorite. And this is how they think they get it. So Mark Ruffalo, that's what we think of you. You're like that kid who asks for more homework. Go to hell. Basically, go to hell. All right. On that note, go ahead.
Yeah. No, and I just, you said something and it made me think about how does putting more resources into something make it better? Or is it about the people you are putting the resources into that determine how far that expenditure or whatever goes?
That's a good point. You're talking about efficiency as opposed to just throwing more money at it. I mean, we throw more money at our education system in this country proportionally than any other country in Africa, and yet we turn out the worst results. So throwing more money at that system is not going to make it better. It's just going to be a waste of more money.
Exactly.
And this is the other thing, is like, I wonder how much of what people like Mark Ruffalo and others who are like, you know, they play socialists. They talk this game of like, I think socialism is a good system, but they're not moving to Venezuela. They're not moving to Cuba. They're not moving to North Korea. They don't really believe that. They live in the United States and they live in mansions and they have very good lives. Whether they've earned that money or not, I'm not debating. That's their money. I have nothing to say about it. But I wonder what this really is. Is it actually about making the world a better place, helping the poor, or is it just being resentful of people who have more than you?
It could be both. It could be both. I mean, what I've seen, you know, I work in the NGO space sometimes, and I find it a little bit frustrating because you'll find super wealthy people coming to spaces. They'll bring blankets or they'll bring whatever, sing for the children, dance around, take some pictures and leave. And then they say that they're actually trying to help.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself, do you really think that is help? Do you really think the way we're going to stop poverty in South Africa is by dancing for poor children and giving them blankets and a bit of soup? Or is it actually taking some time? And I used to do this in varsity because I had some time. I would literally go to Soweto 3 times a week and sit and tutor 10 children.
Yeah.
And help them, and we literally see their progress in school so that they could pass, that they could do better. And I found that you don't actually need a lot of money to change people's lives, but you do need time.
And effort.
And wealthy people do not have the time. And effort.
You know what? Yeah. If you put effort into something, you care about it. Full stop. So if it takes you 5 minutes to sign a check because you've got billions and billions in the bank and you give that check away, but it only took you 5 minutes and a signature to do it, I don't think that's effort. It took you effort to earn the money, obviously, and you're giving an enormous amount of resource to whichever charity it is. But I do think what you're talking about is the real care. If you care about something, you'll put time and effort into it. So let's just wrap up with telling Mark Ruffalo, we don't care about you, dude. And like Simpiwe said already, suspicious as hell. All right. Talking money, though, let's turn our attention to Revix. We've got Brett on the line from Revix. Hey, Brett, nice to see you, man. How are you?
How's it, Gareth? How's the team? Yeah, good to see you guys.
Good. So, Brett, listen, let's level with each other here. It has not been a good couple of weeks since we last spoke to you guys, because really the price of Bitcoin is not looking so great. Ethereum's not looking so great. Solana is not looking so great. Mm-hmm. I noticed, though, I went on Revix yesterday, your PAX Gold is looking very strong. Other things, not so much. Is that your assessment too?
So look, the assessment of the market in the last few weeks has actually been mainly driven by this Luna Terra stablecoin kind of collapse, right?
Yeah.
It kind of fed a whole bunch of scare and fear into the market. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've seen the fear and greed index, which is like this indicator of how much fear there is in the market in Bitcoin, hit its second lowest point in history. So I mean,
sure.
There's mass amount of fear there. There's, as you said, Bitcoin's down, I think, 55% from its highs. I think some other altcoins are down 80 to 90% ranges. There's a lot of fear. But, I mean, there's that saying, when there's blood in the streets, buy, even if it's your own blood, right?
Right.
And we've kind of seen that kind of be true in crypto as well. When this fear and greed index does get below into these massive fear stages, below 15 on their, like, rating level from 1 to 100,
mm-hmm.
And we're currently at 12. Last week we were at around 6. So sure. When we get to those kind of levels, we've seen that there have been historically great buying opportunities. And I even went to go look and do a little analysis and just check, you know, if I had to dollar cost average, which everyone loves doing into mm-hmm. crypto, buying a portion every week, if I had to do that when this fear and greed index is really low and there's a lot of fear in the market, what actually happens to my strategy? And you actually outperform your normal buy and hold strategy or your normal dollar cost average strategy by over 70% in 4 years. So it's quite crazy to see that this like contrarian view, when there is fear, it seems to actually show you that it's kind of one of the best buying signals around at the moment.
All right. So that is clearly from your point of view, and you're not giving financial advice. Let's be 100% honest about that. But you are saying that this may be a buying opportunity. And I was thinking the same thing yesterday. I mean, it hasn't been an easy ride, but if you cashed out any time higher than, let's say, $35,000, you did well. Mm. Maybe now's the time to buy back in. I mean, you could be buying while it's cheap. What, $30,000 this morning?
Yeah, about 29-ish this morning.
Okay.
I kind of think that too. I mean, as I said, when there's, you see all the best investors in the world are contrarian investors, right? Mm-hmm. People that go against the grain. And we are seeing very much negative sentiment around crypto at the moment and around markets at the moment, realistically.
Right.
I think there's a macro backdrop that's kind of saying, you know, Fed's going to hike rates. We're going into a recession. I mean, I kind of look at that and go, well, the Fed's never hiked rates into a recession pretty much in history.
Yeah.
So it kind of errs on the side of maybe they actually pull back a bit. And then you kind of see these risk assets go.
And it's not just cryptocurrencies that have had a rough ride at the moment. Stocks are also down the toilet right now. And everybody's talking about, like, where do you put your money? Now, PAX Gold has performed very well. That's obviously a coin that tracks gold. Obviously, people hedge their bets in an economy like this with gold. But you guys have got a range of products. What kind of crypto investment would you think is the most risky at the moment? And which is the most conservative, if there is a crypto conservative?
Yeah. So first of all, I love the fact that a lot of people will look at crypto and be like, oh, this Ponzi scheme, it's down 50, 60%. I told you so. But then they'll happily go home and watch their Netflix account, which is a stock that's down about 85% year to date.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's like, where do you draw the line, really? So from a risky perspective, look, I think your altcoins will take a longer time to bounce back. So not your Ethereums, but your lower down kind of will take probably a longer time to buy back. I would look, as you say, into like a gold kind of option or a Bitcoin option. Mm-hmm. So we do have a thing called an inflation like hedge product, which is called the Inflation Shield, which is partly Bitcoin and gold. And that's actually held up really well. I mean, in the last month, I think that thing's down about 1% or 2%, where, you know, if it's got Bitcoin and gold in it, Bitcoin's down about 40% in that month. So it's held up really well. And then also, as soon as risk assets start to come back alive, you've got that Bitcoin kind of kicker in there to catch a bottom, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, I look at kind of dollar cost averaging into your Bitcoins at these kind of levels. I think, you know, the lowest it kind of goes from here is to your previous market cycle high, which is about 20,000, and you're already at 29.
Maybe a good time.
Yeah, you're never going to catch bottoms.
So what,
you're never going to catch bottoms in this game.
So with all this fear, where do you see it going from here? What are the people you talk to have to say about this? I mean, you guys speak to investors all over the world. You've got big corporate investors and funds, and then you've got individuals. What are people saying generally if you average it all out? Where is it going?
Yeah, so if we average it all out, I'm thinking a lot of people, obviously, as I said, are a bit worried about the macro outlook, right? But there is this of possibility that the Feds aren't going to hike as much as they say they are because they're going into recession. If that happens, risk assets kind of take off again. It's priced in that, you know, if the Fed's going to 3% in rates, like that I don't see happening. When they've already printed one negative growth this quarter, they print another one, they're going into recession. Into a midterm, they need votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I kind of err on the side of they might be a little more dovish than you think. And if that does happen, I think a lot of people are looking and saying, well, there's that factor, and there's the factor that there's so much fear in this market that it's probably overdone.
Right.
So we're looking to start to average in at these levels over the next few weeks and months and kind of seeing where it plays out. Look, we're not saying it's not going to stop at 28, but they're very happy to start averaging in from, you know, your high 20s down to your low 20s.
Okay.
And not miss that all of a sudden, you know, one announcement from the Fed and you've missed this massive bump up.
So just quickly, someone says in the comments here, which I thought was quite a good point, Bitcoin is more likely to recover than Netflix, to be honest. That's what Jake says. Is there more people involved? So that's probably about right.
You agree with that, Lebo?
Lebo's laughing as well. She thinks that's about right too, don't you?
I do.
I mean, have you seen Disney Plus lately? It's just come to South Africa.
Yeah. How's Disney's share price looking at the moment? Have you been looking at that at all?
I have not looked at that, unfortunately. Well, but I'm sure at the pricing it's got for Disney Plus, I'm sure it's doing a lot better than Netflix.
Right. So last question.
And they've got a pretty great strategy in terms of their marketing strategy and how they're penetrating South Africa. It's pretty brilliant. So what they're doing is they've put fiber lines in different areas of the township, and they're literally putting fiber into people's houses and then marketing all their different products and making it really easy for people to like access Disney Plus content. So, you know, they're almost onboarding their customer even before the customer gets in touch with the content. And they're really supporting the entire ecosystem. So they're not coming here to play.
That's clever.
So Brett, before we let you go, do you want to tell us about any promos that are going on Revex at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, at the moment, we're just doing a classic Bitcoin fee-free. So we think that's, you know, that's kind of the easiest way into crypto at the moment, and especially the safest probably way into crypto at the moment with the fear around. And we kind of like the idea of, you know, dollar cost averaging while there's a lot of fear in the market.
Right.
So we're giving a fee free on all purchases for Bitcoin from the 22nd of May to the 21st of June, actually.
Cool.
So quite a nice long area for people to get a fee free way of getting into the market.
Excellent. No fees. Go in there if you haven't done it before. This may be a really good time to buy, for all you know. Brett Hope Robertson, very nice to see you. And give our regards to the rest of the team at Revex. Nice to have you on this morning.
Will do.
Cheers,
thanks,
man.
Guys. Have
thanks
a good one.
So much. Thanks, Brett. Yeah, there is no safe place to invest. That's why people do it. There's risk and there's reward. You can't have one without the other. But yeah, I liked what you had to say there, Lebo, about Disney Plus. I didn't go to the launch, but I've heard lots of people saying these guys have got a strategy that may just work very, very well in their favor. And you know,
yes, absolutely.
Nobody in this country understands probably more than DSTV that it's not just people who have you know, lots and lots of money in the bank who want good quality content. You could drive through the informal settlements in South Africa, you'll see satellite dishes. People want good content. They're prepared to pay for online stuff. They're prepared to pay for great movies, great TV shows, great podcasts, and they're not going to just give up on that stuff just because the price of it goes up. I do think, though, that among all of these products, we've eventually got to get to one that just aggregates all the stuff for us, because we can't have subscriptions.
We actually don't. We need subscription. I think competition is important, and it's a healthy part of a thriving economy. So I think what you're seeing in South Africa and the African continent is there really are some very weak strategies, and companies aren't plowing into the communities that they want to be in. Instead, they just kind of taking the top tier of people, and everybody's serving one market. And so what Disney Plus is doing is saying, well, the people we want might not have access to this. So we're going to be part of the solution of creating a lived experience, an environment that's actually, that facilitates them being able to consume our product, you know? And I think more South African and African brands need to start doing that. Yes, these companies are coming in with stronger currencies, so it is a little bit easier for them to do this. But if you've got a good team and they're about building a legacy brand and they're thinking about future profits as well, then putting in a few fiber lines today should be a worthy investment. Right. You know, instead of just saying we've got 1% of our population, LSM 7 to 10, they're the only ones who can afford anything. So they're the only ones we're going to create products for. So I think we need the competition.
All right. Good point. Well put.
Question on that. Since you are a team subscription, and we're seeing Netflix, well, Netflix is seeing a decline in their numbers, and there's rumors that they might start bringing up ads. And my whole thing is, if I'm paying not to see ads, why are they going to be ads? What are your thoughts on that and how they're tackling this whole decline in their market?
So the interesting thing about ads, well, at least from my perspective, is I think people want to see ads. And I think for a long time, a lot of us have just complained about them because the ads haven't been what we want to see. So it's not that we don't want our experience to be interrupted with products that are being sold or anything new that's in the market. It's that the interruption actually sucks. So this is a great time for advertising agencies to think, how do we interrupt the experience in a way that's meaningful to the person who's viewing it? You know, if I'm watching a movie and it's a chick flick, and I really love the clothes that the cast is wearing, then maybe the ads should be tailored to that experience. So do you like what Rofiwa is wearing in this movie? You can find it here, here, here. We're seeing a lot of companies that are starting to invest in VR and other tech solutions that are literally tailoring the kind of messaging that you're getting when you're watching something online, so that the ad is actually relevant to the content that you're consuming, so that you really want to consume that ad or the messaging that's coming through. There are some shows I know I've watched where I'm like, where can I find those shoes? Or where are these people? I'd love to travel to this place. And so I think if advertisers were a little bit smarter and they curated the experience in a meaningful way, people wouldn't find ads as an interruption. I think they'd actually enjoy it.
We're going to have to park that there, but there are lots of comments that agree with you and lots of comments that disagree with you, which we'll get to in the next little bit. We've got Lebo Lion with us this morning. We've got Simpiwe Mtetwa. We've got me, you, and we've got the whole crew. Stick around. There's a lot more coming. We're coming back straight after this.
CliffCentral.com.